All right, good afternoon. I'll call the meeting to order. And our first action item is the potential approval of the minutes from the November 20th meeting. Those are distributed with the agenda. And I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Any discussion regarding the minutes? Then all in favor of approval, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'll vote aye.
Okay. Our next item is we do have loans again this month. We have almost $15 million in loans, 14 different loans. Tom, have these been approved for proper public purpose?
Yes, they have.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the loans.
Yeah, I'll second it. We got a whole bunch of them. Wow.
Yeah.
For 14 loans.
Any discussion regarding the loans this month?
Just a quick question. Any reason why we suddenly have so many, or just worked out that way?
You know, Doug, I think that a lot of people want to get things done before the end of the year.
Sure, that makes sense. All righty. That's enough. Thank you. I won't take time.
Okay. Then all in favor, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Is Matt, I'll vote no.
Okay. I'm going to just get back to page one again here. Our next item then is we have a couple of proposed land bank sales to the public. And I think I'll turn to Tom with a description of what we've got going on with those.
A couple of isolated parcels that we've looked at and we have no use for in our portfolio. So we contacted people that own property in the neighborhood, and we received feedback that they would be interested in acquiring it, so we had it appraised, and we're asking the board to approve these for sale now.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Matt, and obviously I support the sales. I just had a few questions in regards to these. So, as Tom mentioned, so obviously there's an interested buyer, and I just generally, and I think kind of Doug was kind of getting at this a couple of meetings ago as well, the one thing that I kind of have a concern is when we set the price like this and we put the appraisal out, I kind of wonder if we're unknowingly setting the purchase price, and why don't we try to get an offer first? And I understand we can't legally sell it, but would anything preclude these supposed neighbors from just saying, writing us an offer? I mean, these are cheap parcels. I mean, the second one is only $6,000. I mean, would there have been anything to stop the person from just saying, hey, why don't you write us an offer? Because now, I mean, if I'm them, why would they pay more than $6,000?
Well, because of the fact, let's start with the fact that before we offer them for sale, we have to have them appraised. And when we offer them for sale, at this point in time, we're supposed to be offering them either through a sealed bid process or through a public auction, one of the two. The idea that someone could just walk up and make an offer doesn't fit with the public sale of land.
But we're not accepting it. They can. Well, I don't want to get into all that, but I guess the question would be, I don't know how the sealed bid process works. Could you just explain it? I'm just interested. You put a notice in the paper, I assume, or something?
We put a notice in the paper. We describe the lands, and we tell people that they have to have a bid in by such and such a time, and the bids are opened, and the highest one above the minimum price is accepted. The last time we did one of these, all three bids came in above the minimum.
Well, and I guess going with that, though, I guess my question is, for example, when something's sold with a realtor, it's really out there. And I don't have a problem. I understand that's how public things are done with a public notice, but I'm assuming it's in the largest paper in the county, depending on the county. But, again, unless you have that paper and you happen to look at that notice, nobody would know the land's for sale, correct?
Well, the first thing, like I said, before we even get it appraised, we send out phishing letters. We've sent out hundreds of phishing letters.
But, I mean, a person from Illinois, Milwaukee, Green Bay could have an interest. I'm just saying as an argument. They wouldn't know this land's for sale unless they bought the paper in that county that says this is for sale via sealed bid, correct? And I don't have a problem. I'm just saying it's a limiting pool. And when you guys said you've told in the past that we have to do these appraisals, and I get that, I mean, the one that's $6,000, our staff couldn't say this is, I mean, it's 40 acres, so 1,000 an acre is 440,000. This is way less. They couldn't say ballpark it's worth 10,000. Because I read the statute. I feel like in a couple of our meetings, somebody said that they have to physically walk the lands. Is that true?
Yes.
Or does it, this says, of good character, approved integrity, sound judgment, and well acquainted with the lands. Is that where you're getting that they have to walk the lands? I'm just confused by the walking of the lands component.
Yes. Yes. The well acquainted with the lands means you're out there and you actually walk it. It doesn't mean that you just look up a map of it.
Well, but I mean, I don't know. Well, we can get into this later. We'll make it a shorter meeting. I'm only saying, for example, I asked, and I know they forwarded it to all the members, the two appraisals cost us $2,000 and then $800. So we spend $800 on the $6,000 sale. So maybe we get $7,000. Maybe we get a little higher bid. I'm just saying the staff there, in the last meeting, and it was in our meeting minutes, they said that this could be a conflict of interest. If the BCTL staff, how could we have a conflict of interest appraising our own land? We work for us. That's our job.
The conflict that was referred to is if we were outsourcing it to someone who was going to be purchasing it.
No, John Schwartz and Mika, right? They work up in the Northwoods. John or Mika could have given a ballpark of this 150. They might have been able to say 175.
Okay, I've got a couple questions. Can I ask them?
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
My first question, and this is not criticism. I'm just a curious guy. Why is there's 240 acres? I looked at the maps, and they both are in the middle of the woods, and they are surrounded by DNR land. Why is one worth six and one worth 31?
The one worth six is pretty much all swamp. The 31 is has much higher land.
Okay, you can't tell
the other
that
way.
Map. Okay. And my second question is, you can't tell from the map who owns the land surrounding them, but it's owned by some private person, I presume.
It's possible to actually research these days, Doug, as to who the neighboring landowners are. It's possible to go to the websites of the pertinent county, and you can pull that information.
It doesn't look like there's any roads close to them.
There's not.
So the current owners don't have any dwellings there.
I believe that on one of them there is a dwelling, but it's not right next to our land. So
I'm looking at the Jack Pine Road goes fairly close to it. Again, you can't see any dwellings on this map.
Yep.
And all that DNR land that's marked in light green surrounds them?
It's close by, yeah.
I mean, it looks like there's a lot of DNR land in that area.
Yep.
Okay. But DNR wasn't interested in purchasing more of this private land. I guess they're not allowed to buy land now, maybe. I don't know.
They're not allowed to buy land that's outside of a project boundary. And so if the project boundary has already been determined where that bright green line is, then no, they can't go beyond that boundary.
Okay, well, enough of that. So you're pretty optimistic that both of these have interested buyers that are waiting.
We would not have spent money on the appraisal if we did not feel that there was a decent chance to have a sale.
This is Matt again. I guess I'd go back to, and I thank Doug for his questions there. I generally had some of those as well. What precludes us from getting an offer before we go out and get an offer is just an offer. We haven't sold, and we still have to do the public bid and all that, but somehow somebody could write us an offer. I mean, is there anything stopping us?
Go ahead, write us an offer on all of them then. Go ahead.
Who is that?
That was me. Go ahead. Write the offer on all of them.
I think you might want to calm down. You're seeming a little argumentative here for no reason. But that being said, this is typical of how I've been dealing with it, but I guess my question would be, with a realtor, for example, is there anything, I guess I'd ask Jonathan, since he's seemingly calmer over there, would there be any reason we couldn't work with a realtor? It just isn't a possibility. I'm not saying we have to. I'm for this, and I'll be voting yes on this today. I'm just looking for possible things down the road. I mean, we should look at all options.
Sure.
work for a realtor, they're going to get a big commission.
Well, no, they usually get a 3% commission. But, again, if they sell it for 10 versus 6, well, I'd rather pay 3%. That's not going to come anywhere close to it. But the other thing is we have staff up there. I guess when we do these appraisals, this one was $2,000 and one was $800. Is there any reason we couldn't have our staff just kind of give a ballpark price beforehand, write it on a piece of paper, and see when we actually pay for the appraisal, how close they actually end up being? Would our staff have picked about the same price? Because if we can appraise them in-house, we'd save a ton of money. On a $6,000 property, we didn't have to spend $800. We're not going to make a lot of money, and I'm fine. I will be voting yes on this, but I'm just looking at different options.
Are we allowed to do in-house appraisals ourselves and come up with a price?
We are allowed to hire an appraisal and put the appraiser on staff. We did not have a...
No, but what I'm asking is, could one of our foresters do it?
Our foresters do not have training as appraisers.
But from a legal point of view, do they have to? I mean, they could walk around and come up with a pretty close ballpark, and then we could sell it for that price, or do we legally need a certified appraiser?
What we need is someone that will do the appraisal and certify that the appraisal has been made in accordance with law. That's what we need.
Well,
and our foresters cannot do that.
Our foresters do not feel that they have the training to be able to do that.
Well, I guess a quick question, because, I mean, I'm reading right from the statutes. It's 24.08. I mean, this is one of the things I think Jonathan was referring to back in when he said sold in the past. I think he's talking about 1800s, early 1900s, so many, many years ago, where things were given away for a song. So something was worth $10,000, they sold it for $4,000. Nobody supports that. I don't support that. I don't think my two co-commissioners do. My only point would be, on something so small as this $6,000, there's no reason if the law allows us, and it does in clear language, say that it should be the staff. It only adds at the very end, but the board may employ under contract any competent appraiser if it deems necessary. It tells us it should be a person in the employ of the board. So we easily, Jonathan or Mika up there, or John, or I think it was by John, I mean, they could have said, okay, I think this is worth $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. And then we see what the bids come out as, you know? I don't know. I think Doug and I slightly agree on that. I think Doug's point two meetings ago was that, unfortunately, we're giving the price ahead of time, and I understand some of it's a limitation by the law, but we don't have to put these – we could do these appraisals later where we pay, in this case, Valhalla Management Services. So – but for today's purposes, I'm fine to move on. I'm voting yes on these. So I don't know if the board chair wants to move on.
One more quick question. This is Doug again. How difficult would it be for us to pick one of our foresters who was interested and let them become a certified appraiser? Does it require a whole bunch of complications, or can they do a little online course of some kind?
I've talked to Micah about that possibility, and he felt that the amount of hours that would go into the appraisal training was too much. He felt that it would take away from the other aspects of his job too much time. So,
interesting.
Well, I guess we're paying Micah. What else? If he's the realtor, what else is he? I mean, these are the two sales, and then we have those other two small sales. If we're paying for the appraiser, so we're not, no staff are needed for it, we're paying for the appraisal, and then it's a sealed bid, what's the point? Why even have a real estate person? These are so small. If this was a $2 million parcel, I think it would make more sense we get an independent appraisal. And I'm not even opposed to an independent appraisal at the end. I'm just saying we could have got this bid first, put it out there, and seen who bid on it. Because we obviously have somebody interested. There's a neighbor must have an interest, because that's all the preface of this was done.
As I understand it, the real estate person is an LTE and not full-time. Is that right, Tom?
No, he's a half-time FTE. And,
okay.
And so his job entails reviewing the title to our land, contacting adjoining landowners, working on getting access to any landlocked parcels we have, dealing with entities that may be looking at doing an exchange with us. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different components of what he does. What you're looking at here is are the fruits of his labors, is about the best way to put it. So.
Well, I wasn't thinking about him. I was thinking about one of the foresters who's up north, and have one of our foresters who is going to be around for hopefully a few years, have them be able to become an appraiser. There must be an online classes nowadays and with today's internet.
You know, and I'm sorry, I 100% agree with what Doug's saying here. I mean, the logic is beyond sound. If we wanted to sell a parcel, because if maybe we're just setting the basis point, so we put these things out, it would be on a meeting like this, then we get these competitive bids, we could still then go out and subsequently hire an independent appraisal afterwards. We could just say contingent on appraisal coming at for offer. I mean, my only point is, these are so small, I mean, I'm assuming just the neighbors have interest, but I'll be honest, for a 40-acre parcel, I almost would cut a check for $6,000. I mean, I'm not, obviously can't, and I wouldn't, but I'm saying, this is, a lot of people want to have hunting land up north. I mean, that's cheap. If it's not on a website, and I know the big purchase we just made, the $1 million one from American Timberlands, that was on a website. That was, the realtor only makes a commission if it's a sale. I mean, I don't know. It just, that seems cheap, so.
Well, it's been all these years since we became a state, and this particular piece of land hasn't ever sold, so it can't be in that great a demand. And I'm not sure how the farmer gets onto it other than dropping in by helicopter. Or excuse me, not the farmer, the hunter gets on it other than dropping in by helicopter. So anyway, we had these discussions before, and then maybe there's a better way to do it, but ultimately we're in this place with these two parcels, and I think I know what the vote is, but I'll call for the vote here, and I'll vote aye.
This is Matt. I'll vote aye.
This is Doug. I vote aye.
Was there a motion? Was there a motion?
Oh, you know what? You're probably right, Tom. I think I had you describe it. I'll make a motion to approve this land bank sale to the public of these two parcels.
Can we do it in one motion, Tom?
Sure.
Okay. I second that motion.
Okay. And then we on that motion, does anybody change their vote?
I vote aye.
I'll vote aye.
And I vote aye. Okay. Any future agenda items?
Before we move on, I have the same question Doug had. In the future, if we have sales like this, because I know it is available on the county map somehow, could we be given, maybe it's not in our board packet, but at least emailed to us, who the neighbors are? Because there is a map that shows you, like, a detailed, and it says, like, I've seen it for hours when I pulled it up, and it just says, like, the letters BCPL, and they're all plotted out. It would be nice to just see that, and that was kind of what Doug had mentioned as well. So.
Do we actually have that, Tom?
We have the ability to, the map that we provide the board can be developed with the neighboring landowners' names on it.
And like I said, if you just wanted to email it to us, it doesn't have to be in the packet. I just would like to see it for my own perusal. But
you can find it yourself, probably.
I could, but I mean, they have the special software. I don't know if I have that, but
okay.
All right. Any future agenda items to talk about today? I know Jonathan's is not with us at this meeting. Tom, did you have anything to report on his behalf?
No. Well, just a little bit. We met with the state broadband director last week. The PSC is providing grants to local communities to expand broadband service, and we talked with the PSC folks about them using our loan program to help local communities bridge the gap in financing those broadband expansions. You know, if the grant covers 50, 60, 70% of the cost of it, our loan program could then help that local community finish off the financing of that broadband expansion. So they're
good idea.
Yeah, they're pretty excited about working with us on that. So
whose idea was that?
Actually, I had tried for a couple of years to talk to someone at the PSC, and my calls went unanswered. So finally we got someone who's excited to work with us on that. So
congratulations, Tom. Good job.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice work, Tom. We've talked about this before. Our staff over there, and you and Rich and Vicky and the others, you guys are worth your weight in gold, and we appreciate your hard work.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I guess then I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
I'll third it.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you later.
Bye.